Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Well, good evening. It's Wednesday night. And do you know where your pastor is? All right, my name is Reverend Judy Hosner, and we're still getting used to the Wednesday night slot. So if I seem a little disheveled, it's because I am. So welcome to the Journey 8, and we're hoping that you get a piece of information tonight that will help you through the week. So once again, I have to say it's late summer here in the South, and that means thunderstorms. We're watching the weather in the area, but there is some storms coming about. If I go off the air abruptly, it's because the safety equipment shuts me down. And I just wanted to assure you I hadn't fallen asleep or falling off my chair. It's just the safety stuff for all this stuff in the studio here. So I'm happy to be here on Wednesday nights. I hope all 12 of my listeners from the other time slot have found me. And I promise, I really do promise, not to switch times for at least 2 days. No. Hopefully never. I stay right here, nice and comfy. All right, so as usual, before we get into the message today, which starts a two, maybe three part, God hasn't told me how many parts, but I'm thinking it's two or three part series. We need to go through some of the announcements. We always start the program with some announcements. And the first one is, for those of you who have not been listening, I started Bible trivia quizzes, a couple months ago. And they're still up on the website. I think I got three of them. Number four is going to be loaded tonight. You can find those little Bible trivia quizzes on a website called PurposeGames.com. Now, PurposeGames.com is a nice, clean little website, and it's really nice because people don't get crazy on there, and there's just hundreds of different types of quizzes and puzzle games, and you name it, people have created it. And so it's a free website. Again, it's www.purposegames.com. And all you have to do is go on there and do a search for the Journey 8 and find me, or you can find me under my name, whatever. And you'll see when you pull up the page, little quizzes, little trivia quizzes. At some point, we're going to combine all those games into a tournament when I figure out how to do that and have some fun. I might have a Twinkie or something for the first place winner. Anyway, if you have any problems accessing the Bible trivia quizzes, you can email me at RevJudy, R-E-V-J-U-D-Y, at CloserWalkWithYou.com, which is my main website. Okay. Also, because we're trying to focus in more on community things here in the greater Greensboro area, we've got a site called IGLU, Igloo, where you can download and listen to shows on demand. You can also find every one of my shows or programs in the archives page on bbsradio.com, which is my main transmitting hoo-ha. They're magicians. They take my voice and they send it out into the Netherlands. So if you go on bbsradio.com and go to my page, you'll see also there is a tab that says archives there. So either way, iglu.com. IGLU is an app that you can download on your phones, so your iPads, your iPods, your iSticks, and your iStones, and so on and so forth. I think it's an Android app too. Either way, you should be able to get into my archives. All of the shows, thanks to BBS, are also on iTunes as podcasts, and they are free. I don't charge. I would have no idea how to charge for what I do. 12 cents? I don't know. Anyway, so you can catch up on some on-demand stuff. Either way. So, number three, my Christmas album. My Christmas album is not on time. I lost a week with a broken wrist here, so we lost a week of studio time. So it probably won't be out the 20th, but probably closer to Advent, which is the 30th. The Christmas album is entitled Peace, after the second candle in the Advent wreath. And I believe there's going to be about 10 or 12 songs on it. Some of them are songs from previous albums. Some of them are new. I believe that we're going to have the album on iTunes and CD Baby. At this time, we're still debating whether we're going to have hard copies of CDs available or not. Depends on if I can finish recording and get everything to the people that magically make CDs. So that's that. Coming along. Fourth, number local Greensboro Triad. Greensboro, North Carolina Triad. All 12 of you out there, are you hearing me? If you're a church or a community nonprofit, and you need a short plug for an upcoming event, send me an email at least 7 days in advance, and we will try and include it in our announcements. Again, the email address, revjudy@closerwalkwithyou.com. And I will get back to you. Saturday, October 28th, a couple weeks from now, edging towards that Halloween-y type of day. On Saturday, October 28th, the church that I belong to, Life's Journey United Church of Christ in Burlington, North Carolina, is having our annual Scaryoke. Now, Scaryoke only works if you come in costume. I mean, that's the whole thing, you know? So find a costume, join us at church in the social hall, I believe it's going to be, for some karaoke. Think of a song, any song, bring it with you. You have some questions, you need some directions, information, contact me. Give me a note. On Closer Walk With You is also a phone number for my business line. You can always leave a message there, and we'll get back to you. Alrighty, the last one? No, not last yet, but here we go. For the last couple months, I've been asking you, begging you, pleading with you, almost groveling, and it's so unseemly for me to grovel. I have a very dear friend by the name of Jen Phipps, wonderful musician and Christian, Pew has dreamed all her life to go to Africa on a missionary trip. Her dream is about to come true, and we want to make sure it comes true. So I have been asking you, and I will continue to ask you, until she leaves in January. She was supposed to leave in October, but it has been postponed till January due to some unforeseen situations. The trip to Mozambique, Africa, is not cheap. Most missionaries have to pay their own way to get to where they're going, and then their accommodations are made for them there. She is going to be spending some time in a orphanage with children, teaching them to sing and do all kinds of stuff. So, oh yeah, this is a big thing. She has set up a GoFundMe.com page. You can find her by her name if you go to GoFundMe.com and just type in Jen Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S. You will get to her page, and I'm asking everyone to donate at least what you would spend on lunches for a week, or a day, or 2 days, whatever. Take and use that old brown bag that's in your closet somewhere, and take the money you would spend on lunch and donate it to her. We're trying to raise $3,000 to get her off to Mozambique. Please don't let her buy a raft and paddle. Yeah, that wouldn't work. I hear there's sharks in that Atlantic Ocean. GoFundMe.com. There is some information on my webpage, Closer Walk With You, if you need more information. All right, last but not least, prayer warriors. You know who you are. Come meet me the first Friday of every month, starting in January 2015. We are going to have the first Friday of every month be prayer months, and we probably will broadcast it. I'm not sure yet. So there will be information on the website. If you're a local person of God and would like to pray with us or send us prayers, all that information will be on my website. Prayer is our connection to God's cyberspace. Think of it that way. You know, God has that God phone, and he also has a cyberspace spot. It's God.com, you know. Anyway, if you want to know more information or become a prayer warrior with me, please go to my homepage at Closer Walk With You. I think that is like enough for tonight, don't you think? Most of these announcements, excuse my sore throat. Most of these announcements are on my webpage. So if you missed some of them, didn't write them down fast enough, they should be there. If not, I'll shoot the person who makes that website, which is me. That won't work. All right. So tonight's message is, as I said, part one of a message that I've entitled Grace, Faith, and Forgiveness. Yes. Well, if those three words didn't scare you and you didn't hang up or go to another station on the VBS radio, then you're going to stick it out with me. Subtitled, The Three Must-A-Tears. Must-A-Tears. I don't make this stuff up. It comes over the God phone. Really, it does. So here we go. Grace, faith, and forgiveness. But, as you know, before I read the scripture, there is the safety warning. We started this at the very beginning, in the old days. And all you regulars out there should have this memorized by now. So here we go. all bus drivers, airplane pilots, crane operators, train engineers, 18-wheelers, and anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat. Please wait till you get home before looking up this scripture. All the rest of you, crack open your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhones, and any other smart and dumb device, too. Matthew 20, New Testament. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And we are going to be using this for the next couple weeks. It is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. So here we go. I think this is the NIV, if I had to guess, NIV version of the Bible. And here we go. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. We know how that goes. So he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Well, the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landlord. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do that with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. You know, one of the things I love about the parables, and, parables were common back in the time of Jesus. It's how they related information. One of the things I love about the parables is that each of them strikes a chord even today. So even though these are words that were spoken over 2,000 years ago, it's amazing how they still apply today. That Jesus guy, he knew what he was doing, right? All right, so here we go. Relational viruses attack every friendship. Tensions arise. Wrongs are done. Lies are told. Trust is broken. Since we're imperfect people, we're bound to have trouble with forgiveness. I'm convinced that relationships are built not on a standard of perfection, but on our ability to ask for forgiveness and upon our willingness to extend forgiveness. In other words, grace must impact both our friendships and our forgiveness. You know, if you and I want to have relationships that last for the long haul, then we must be willing to extend forgiveness to others. Here's another way to say it. In every relationship you have, you will constantly be called on to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Now, the workers in the vineyard hadn't gotten this message yet. They were upset. Even so, forgiveness is costly. It's not easy to ask for forgiveness, and it's certainly not easy to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Proverbs 18, verse 19 says, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. Ever been in one of those situations where somebody is on one side of a discussion, shall we call it, and somebody else is on the other side? And here's, for instance, worker number one with a denarius. And worker number two who says, whoa, when I'm not giving in, I am really upset. You know, forgiveness is a virtue we most enjoy and least employ. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is a virtue we most enjoy and least employ. There are at least two reasons why we struggle with forgiveness. At least, but here's two. Forgiveness is not natural. That's not natural to us. That's why it's so hard to do. And forgiveness is not fair. Our sense of justice wants to be vindicated. Yeah, forgiveness takes that sense of vindication away. Oops, I've been forgiven. Unlimited forgiveness of all the people in the Bible. Peter, the rock, stands out as the most mathematical of the disciples. He was a stickler for details, always trying to pin down the precise meaning of everything. I mean, everything Jesus said. Do you remember when Jesus engineered a miraculous catch of fish? I mean, the boats were practically swamped. There were so many fish in it. Guess who was the one who sat down and counted each squirmy, slimy little fish to find out that they had caught 153 fish? If you were to take your Bible and count the number of times that Peter messed up, like messed up, you discovered that he needed forgiveness at least seven different occasions. Here we are with the numbers. See, Peter loved numbers. Sort of. Being a numbers guy, one day Peter came up to Jesus and asked him a question. You'll find this in Matthew 18, verse 21. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Here we go with forgiveness. Up to seven times? I find his question a bit amusing. Here's Peter, the one who needed personal forgiveness on at least seven different occasions himself, being concerned with how many times he had to forgive someone else. It's like, oops, wait a minute. He was trying to discover a mathematical formula for grace. Ah, yes. Now, when you think about it, we all have some barriers that keep us from giving the gift of forgiveness to others. We have a threshold that we don't want to cross, a limit that we won't go beyond. I can think of at least three barriers and an unforgiving heart. Revenge, I'm going to get even. Resentment, I'm going to stay right here and stay as angry as I am right this moment. Remembering, I'll never forget what you did. Ever. Never. Forever. We all ask this question at least one time or another. How many times do I have to forgive this guy? I'm getting tired of it. Why does it keep hurting me like he does? Ew. This is a tough one. Peter may have been thinking of a time when somebody wronged him and he had extended forgiveness, but the same person did something to hurt him the very next day. Again, Peter forgave him. A couple days later, his friend lied to him. This time, Peter reluctantly forgave him, but now he's getting a little ticked off. So Peter's looking to Jesus to help him set some kind of forgiveness limits. Ooh, yeah, I like it. Forgiveness limits. I'm Peter. Just tell me how many times. Peter wanted him to, tell him. So Peter goes to Jesus and says, when's it okay to say that's it? You've messed up one too many times. You're out of here. Thank you for playing. You know, I wonder if Peter is thinking of something his literal brother Andrew did. Maybe Andy didn't put the fishnets away. Or maybe he was always borrowing Peter's old Navy jacket. Or maybe he borrowed some shekels for some sleepers at Taco Bell and never paid Pete back. Whatever the case, before Jesus could answer, Peter, who was very famous for this, stuck his foot in his mouth and responded to his own question by suggesting that 7 times would be a good limit. That's not a bad answer. The rabbis back then taught that if you had to forgive someone 3 times, then you could retaliate. The 4th time, you could do whatever you liked. In fact, they mistakenly taught that God only forgives 3 times. So Peter doubled that and added 1 for good measure. His thought process was probably somewhere along that line. And so he thought his answer would really impress Jesus, because here he doubled it and threw 1 in for extra measure. To be honest, forgiving someone 7 times is commendable. Most of us get frustrated if we have to forgive someone 2x. By human standards, what Peter said was admirable, or perhaps even extravagant. Peter wanted a number. I'm a numbers guy. I want a number. I want a limit. I want to know where the boundary is. When can I, like, really get this guy back? That's it. You're not getting away with this any longer. Our friendship is now over. You have messed me up 57 times. No. 7 times. So that was his answer, as Jesus often does. His answer to Peter was a little unexpected and disarming. So if you go to verse 22 over there in the little book of Matthew, and you say, and what was Jesus' answer? And here it is. I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Now, the crash you just heard is Peter hitting the ground in a dead faint. He couldn't believe his ears. 70 times 7? And he gets out his little pocket calculator, which was an abacus back then, his little pocket abacus. Punched in the numbers, and he said, that's 490 times. 490 times. Jesus isn't suggesting that we count the number of times we forgive someone. But we're on number 299 now. Better watch it. You're getting close. I'm on 190 to go. Not at all. I asked you a while ago. Well, I said a while ago. Here's Peter the Rock, calculating everything up. He's really, really perplexed at Jesus' answer. 70 times 7 means there's no limit of time to really forgive somebody. In essence, Jesus came back with that saying just to shock Peter, when really what he was saying is, if you were to count, by the time you reached 490, you'd be in the habit of continual and unlimited forgiveness. And that's precisely the point Jesus is making when he says 70 times 700 million thousand. He could have made up any number. You don't keep score when it comes to forgiveness. And I've learned this the hard way. Like grace, forgiveness is about it, as about it, a maddening quality because it is undeserved, it's unmerited, and it's unfair, as in the workers in the vineyard. I've been here since 9 in the morning. You're paying me the same as a man who worked for 1 hour. Yeah. Called grace. Grace is unfair. Grace is free. Grace has no qualifiers to it. That's why it's grace. You know, when I started to pull this little mini-series together, I thought, oh, there's going to be some friends of mine who are going to say, why are you preaching, teaching about me? I forgive as much as I possibly can. But, you know, I'm not a doormat. I'm not able to just be trotted on. Jesus was, you know, human, but he was spiritual and holy too. He could forgive somebody for 490 times, but we're just human. I'm not capable of doing that. And my answer is the same as it always is. I thought I wasn't capable of doing a lot of things, and forgiveness is one of them that I have practiced through the years. Lo and behold, I am not anywhere near the tolerance of Jesus. I don't think any of us can get there. But the point of the story is that we try. Friendship is precious. If you have friends like I have in my life, some of them I have known for 40 years, since I was an upstart, crazy and wild girl. And you have your rough moments. You even have times where you don't speak to each other for a year or so. But I always knew I could pick up the phone and call a phone number, and that person will be on there just like it was yesterday. I'll forgive them 490 times if that's what I do to keep them in my life until I am not breathing any longer. Jesus is trying to make the point that you don't keep score. There is no scorekeeping. There isn't, I'm mad at you, and until you say you're sorry, I'm sorry. There's no sorry in the sorry until you say you're sorry. You don't keep score any more than Jesus kept score when he was hanging on the cross. He didn't say, John over there, man, he didn't do me right. Peter denied me. What's that all about? You know, didn't. Instead, he said, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness has about it a maddening quality, because it is undeserved, unmerited, and unfair. When you learn to turn the other cheek and walk away. Or when you learn to forgive even those who have not forgiven you, you come one step closer, one step closer to mind and heart of Jesus. I never will say be a doormat, be abused, or be used in an awful way. What I am saying is that we major and minors, we human beings, we major and minors sometimes. We waste so much time here on earth, in this time, in this space, holding grudges over nothing sometimes. We even forget why we're mad at Sally over there, my next door neighbor. I just pulled all her petunias up. I don't know why I'm still mad at her. We've been mad at each other for 20 years. But when Sally's on her deathbed, will you still be mad? I think that Jesus used Paul and Peter and Mary. Peter, Paul, Mary, no, that's not right. Used Peter a lot because Peter had this really innate talent of putting his foot in his mouth all the time. And he'd take his foot out long enough to put the other foot in. When he took that one out, then he had his fingers in his mouth. You know, he was always stumbling, but he was the rock. When it came down to who am I? Who do you say I am? It was Peter that looked at Christ and said, you are the Christ. And on that, all the church was built. The rock. The rock with the foot in the mouth, but he was the rock. So this week, the remainder of this week, I would like to ask all 12 of you that are listening if you would take the time to think of one person that has wronged you. I'm not talking about anything capital or crazy criminal. I'm talking about someone who's wronged you, who's lied to you, who's stolen something from you, who has wronged you. And practice forgiveness, undeserved, unmerited, unfair forgiveness. Call them, text them, okay, chat with them, okay, email them, whatever. And say, Sally, I won't pull your petunias up anymore. Pax. Peace. Forgiveness brings peace. And boy, do we need peace right now, Lord. You practice it between you and one other person. Maybe they'll go practice it with somebody else before you know it. Woo-hoo. Who knows? Next week, yeah, we're going to end the meeting tonight because I have a very sore throat. It sounds pretty froggy, huh? Next week, we're going to do part two, which is when we need forgiveness. Ooh. Okay, so this week we talked about we giving forgiveness and letting people work in our vineyards in pain and sin, but it's a parable. Read it. You may actually be able to apply it. Forgiveness. Yeah. You know, we want more. They only worked for an hour. Forgiveness. The bottom line. So this week we talked about us being the person forgiving. Next week, we're going to be the grovelers. We're the ones who need forgiveness. Trust me. Everyone at some point in their life, many times I'm sure, if you're human, which is, if you're listening to me, I hope you're human. Well, I guess you could be a chimpanzee. You will need forgiveness. So next Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we're going to talk about how it feels to be on the other end of the forgiveness chain. But remember, for this week, I want you to practice. And I hope that you send me an email or something, or call me or whatever, and say, wow, I practiced this on Jethro, and I've been mad at him for a long time. He shot my duck and took my duck home. I should have had that duck. Whatever, I don't know. I want you to practice one person. That's all I'm asking, one person. Forgive them. Contact them and say, slate's wiped clean, let's start it over. All right, and until then, grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.